If you haven't been here, or you know, you haven't been here in a while, or you're visiting, or whatever, we've been in the book of Hebrews. We were in it in October and November and in December. We did, I think, 8 weeks from late October to Christmas on Hebrews. We only got to chapter 4. There's 13. And so we are picking it up. We're doing Jesus is Greater Than. And so if you missed any of the messages, they're on our website. But the book of Hebrews is all about Jesus is greater. He's greater than angels. He's greater than Moses. Last week we looked at he's greater than any and all high priests, that he is the great high priest. And so if you missed that message, I want to encourage you to just go back. You can watch them on Facebook. They're really good. I'm just saying. I'm just saying for myself. They're really good. So listen, we always begin with this. If you can put it up, Kyle. We want to look in this book. This is kind of the thing we always go back to. What has Jesus accomplished and why Jesus should be worshipped? Now, today's message, you can put it up, Kyle. Today's message is about this. Listen, this is a great topic. God's desire for you is to grow. Did you know that? That he doesn't want to leave you exactly the same. He wants you to grow in your faith. He wants you to do more and trust him more. And so back in Hebrews 2, there was kind of a warning about drifting. If you remember this, this was back in November. Hebrews 2 is a part of the chapter is about drifting. And our tendency, you know this, right? Our tendency is not to drift towards God, but what? To drift away from God. And so we have to be very intentional. And that was kind of a warning to the people. And so he takes it a little further here. And this passage today, and I'm so glad you're here. We should probably lock the doors to keep you in. This passage today is a rebuke. Now, if you don't know what a rebuke is, that's okay. I'll explain. A rebuke is kind of God's word coming alongside of you and saying, hey, you are not living up to what God wants. You are not living by the standard that God has for you. He wants you to grow in your faith. And so this is a wake-up call. And I want you to know, loved ones, my friends, my family, that God greatly convicted me before I've ever shared this before you. And so I have taken this rebuke and this warning and this what God is saying. He's already worked on my heart. And I pray in the name of Jesus that he works on your heart. That you don't get offended by what I'm going to say. That you stay open-minded to what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to your heart. If you would you stand for the reading of God's word? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. He says, we have much to say about this. And what's this? What did we talk about last week? Do you remember? Melchizedek and the high priest. He's going to, in a few chapters, go into an extensive thing on Melchizedek, and we'll get to that. But he's like, listen, I've got a lot to say about this, which we talked about last week, the high priest and Melchizedek, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. It's quite a rebuke, and I'll get to that in just a minute. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. All over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. Can you say amen or ouch on that one? That's tough. That's tough. If you're not growing in your faith, you have nothing to do with righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just open our hearts right now to you, to your spirit. God, we need you to speak to us. This is a very difficult word today. But you know what? We need to hear it, Lord. We need the whole counsel of your word. And so, God, to speak to our hearts, challenge us, encourage us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We have a nation of consumers. Would you agree with that? Do you know the average American consumes 1,375 pounds, or excuse me, 1,753 pounds of food a year? Isn't that just good news to you? That you eat over 1,700 pounds. Now, some eat more, and some eat less. But the average is 1,753 pounds of food a year. We watch 1,375 hours of TV on average. We spend $14 billion on music, $16 billion on movies, The average male speaks 730,000 words a year. The average female, you want to hear this? 2.5 million. Listen, don't get upset. It's just the facts. But listen, we are a nation of consuming and consumers. That's what we do. We like it when people serve us or wait on us, don't we? I do. I do. I took my wife out to a Greek restaurant last night. And somebody just, you know, it's wonderful when somebody just brings you your food and it's just delicious. It's a wonderful thing. At times, we can become self-absorbed. Philippians 3:19 says this. Listen to this. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. What has happened in our church today? Not just this church, but the church in general. What's happened in our church today is we have taken that American consumerism and applied it to the church. And it's very dangerous because so many people come to church and they're like, oh, just feed me, Pastor, just feed me. Because, listen, they don't know that they can feed themselves. They don't understand that it's a daily walk with God. That's how you grow in your faith. That's how you mature. And this mentality has crept into our church and is dangerous. And the writer of Hebrews has a warning for us, for his audience in the first century, and get this, for us today. This is very applicable to us today. This is who we are. We need to hear this. We need to comprehend this and understand this. And so one of the major causes of this is immaturity. Immaturity in the church. So many people have not grown in their faith. And listen, they're stuck. They're just stuck. And maybe that's you today. Maybe God is working on your heart already. If you're stuck today, I want you to know that God wants you unstuck. He does. He wants you growing and maturing and every month and every year looking back and saying, I am so much better because of Christ than I was a year ago, than I was 2 years ago. That's what God wants. And so today I want to go after that. So let's dig in and see what the writer has to say. And then I want you to ask yourself at the end, am I maturing in Christ? Am I growing in my faith? Do I trust God more today than I did last year? Or last month? Or last week? It's a growing. Verse 11 again. Here we go. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. I put another translation because I love this word, and this is really important. This is the King James Version. It says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are, what's the word? Dull of hearing. Not a word we use a lot. But the writer uses this great word in the original language. And it's, you could translate it difficult to understand or even dull of hearing. And so I want to just kind of, for a few minutes, go after that. What a great word. Dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. When I was in high school, I'm going to confess to you something that I don't talk a lot about. I liked wrestling. Not high school wrestling, not college wrestling. You know that fake stuff on TV? Please forgive me. When I was 14, I was all in. I was like Hulk Hogan and Randy Macho Man Savage. Come on, somebody. Ultimate Warrior. Good, you're good. I'm a loser just like you guys. That's awesome. That's awesome. But my favorite wrestling people were a group called the Legion of Doom. Can I show you a picture? Because these are my favorite. These are my favorite guys. Oh yeah. You know what their tagline was? We snack on danger, we dine on death. Come on, somebody. They were real. Well, I don't even know what that was. But listen, I was so into this at 14, it was scary. I actually went and saw one of them at the Spectrum, if anybody remembers the Spectrum. Yeah, I was that teenager. I was a loser. It's okay. I accept that. Okay? This message today is like a wrestling match. And here's the two people that are competing. Here's the two, not people, but here's the two things that are competing for your time, for who you are. Put it up if you would, Kyle. Dull versus discernment. Dull, hard of hearing, difficult to understand, as opposed to someone who has discernment, the Bible says, can distinguish right from wrong. Look at verse 14 again. We looked at verse 11. He says, you're dull of hearing. At the end of this portion, he says this, but strong meat belongs to that belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discernment, both good and evil. Here's the battle for you. Are you going to be dull of hearing and not take this rebuke today? Or are you going to say, you know what, I want discernment. I want to know between right and wrong. I want to live right and honor God in every area of my life. That's what God is looking for. And so he begins with this immature, dull of hearing, and he ends with a mature person who has discernment, who knows right from wrong, who says, you know what, this situation I should not be in. This conversation I should not be in. And they know that, and that's discernment. And that's what we want to go after today. Ask yourself these tough questions. Am I growing in my faith? Am I increasing my knowledge of who God is? Let's talk about what the writer says in verse 11. He uses the word dull. He's trying to get his listeners' attention, which is our attention as well, to understand that some believers aren't growing. They're staying infants. They're not growing in their faith. They're struggling with the same sins they did 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. Same sins. Listen, I love you, but it's called immaturity. God wants you to mature, to grow, to be an adult, to not stay an infant. And so I want to give you three words that best describe this word dull. If you're taking notes, they're in your bulletin there. Here's the first one. When it comes to being dull, the first word is this. It's shallow. How many of you have ever been to a swimming pool that has a deep end and a shallow end? We all have. We've all seen it, right? And if you can't swim, which side do you stay in? Shallow. Yeah. And that's where most, listen, that's where most of the kids are. That's where most of the infants are and the babies are, in the shallow end, because they can't swim. But how about the person who learns to swim? Maybe they begin in the shallow end, like we all do, and then they learn to swim. Where do they go? Oh, man, they're jumping off the diving board. They're going down the goofy slide. They're doing all this stuff because, you know what? They know how to swim. They have matured. They have grown. So many of us stay in the shallow end. And we're like, I'm happy, I'm good, I'm in the water. You know what I'm saying? I'm on my knees. I'm playing with kids. We stay in the shallow end. We never go into the deep end. Listen, friends, God wants you to deepen your faith. God wants you to grow in your faith. God doesn't want you to stay in the shallow end. He wants you to go into the deep end. Listen, listen, I grew up swimming. We swam a lot. It's so much funner. It's so much better. In the deep, funner is not even a word. I just made up a word. There's so much greater joy in the deep end. You can do so much. The diving board is always where? In the deep end. And that goofy slide that curves, that nobody understands why, is in the deep end. The fun stuff is for the mature. That's what God wants. He doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He wants you to mature in your faith, to grow. It's funny, the actual Greek translation, I'm not going to give you the Greek word, but the Greek translation for dull of hearing is a word that means to not push, no drive, no motivation, no going after things. I want to go deep in my faith. I want to get into the deep end. I don't want to stay at the shallow end. I don't want to have no drive or no desire or no motivation to grow and learn about God, deepen my faith. Second word is this, if you're taking notes. It's a great word. It's the word slow. It describes dull, somebody who's slow, dull of hearing. Maybe you're slow to grasp some of the concepts of God. Find someone who's above you, who's down the road a little farther, and let them disciple you. Let them teach you. Be accountable to them. I'm going to go back to high school for just a minute. In high school, I was a basketball player. Kind of what I did. I played soccer, but I also, basketball was my love. I loved basketball. I played it for hours every day. My senior year of high school, I averaged 19 points and 11 assists per game, which is pretty good. I'm not college good. Listen, I'm not college good. I was, yeah, thank you for that single clap. I was high school good. I was really good at high school. And one of the things I prided myself on was my quickness. I was just quick. I had a lot of steals. You know, I could blow by people with a dribble. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I play today? It's just sad. My mind says, do this, and my body says, heck no. Not doing that. I've lost my quickness. I'm no longer quick anymore. I'm slow. Don't laugh too much, Cliff, okay? Are you the kind of person that is slow? That maybe you read something over and over and God is working on your heart and you come to church and you hear what God's word says and you hear it again and again and again and yet you're slow to respond to it. You're like me playing basketball as a 49-year-old with high school kids. I love it when they blow by me and I'm like, wow, that's a great move. Because they have that quickness. They have that response. But so many of us have been in the faith so long, we've slowed down. Some of us have come to a crawl in our faith. And we're just like, yeah, moving forward, but just not at what the pace that God wants. Here's the rebuke. Here it is. Are you growing in your faith? Are you maturing? Or have you hang out in the shallow end and slow everything down? I don't want to deal with that right now. I like living like this. Have you become dull of hearing? Third word, associated with dullness. What is it? Shallow, slow, stubborn. Oof. Really, Pastor, we're going to go there? Absolutely. And here's the reason why. Because I love you and I want you to grow in your faith. I want to challenge you today to say, you know what? Mediocre is not good enough. Status quo is not good enough. I need to grow in my faith. I need to be stretched. Last night I did Pilates with my wife. It was sad. And you know what? I'm sore today. Because they make you do things that you're not supposed to do. And you know what it does? It stretches your muscle so that it grows. God, my prayer for you today is that you would be stretched. That God would stretch you and say, you know what? Don't be satisfied with where you are. I don't care if you're an elder, a deacon, a leader in this church, you teach, you do nursery, you do usher, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. We all need to be stretched. We all need to do a little Christian Pilates. You know that stays here, right? Nobody's telling it. You're not supposed to tell your neighbor or anybody else that I did Pilates. Shallow. Stubborn. Slow. Here's what's one thing that's growing in our churches and in our community is this idea that the Bible was written thousands of years ago and is not relevant today. People become very stubborn with that. They're like, yeah, no, it doesn't. You know, there's some good things in there, but for the most part, they don't know what they're talking about. Nothing could be further from the truth. We're stubborn. We don't want to grow or change our lifestyle. So what we say is just, you know what? It's an ancient book. You know, there's some good stuff in it, but for the most part, I'm going to live how I want. We become very stubborn. And yes, the Bible is an ancient book, but that doesn't change truth. When I read this book, I realize that the world back then was full of sin. And when I look at around our world today, thank you, it's full of sin. It's exactly what it is. Nothing has changed. There's still a sin problem. It needs to be addressed. But people are stubborn. They don't want to grow or change. Listen to me. If you get into God's word, it's going to change you. Amen. If you get into God's word and you surrender completely, you will be changed. You will mature. That's what happens. The writer here is addressing a problem, the same problem that exists today, a dullness of hearing. We're shallow in our faith. We're slow to change. We're stubborn to grow. Look at those words. Look at those words. Shallow, slow, and stubborn. I don't want those associated with my life. How about you? Absolutely not. We don't want to be called stubborn or slow. Are any of these words attached to your life? Do you hear something over and over? The pastor's been saying this, that I've been reading this in my devotions, and yet you just ignore it. And God's like, no, I need to work on that. I need to work on that heart issue. I need to work on that sin issue so that you don't keep repeating the same things over and over again. Here's what I want to do, because I want to encourage you. I don't want to leave it like this. I want to look at the causes and the cure of immaturity, because it's in here in this passage. The causes and the cure. Look at verse 12 and 13. It says this. I'll go to my notes. In fact, different part. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word. Like, he's like, you need to be teaching. You need to be sharing your faith. He says, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching of righteousness. Here we go. The causes of immaturity, if you're taking notes. Causes of immaturity. The first one is this. We're very unproductive. We're unproductive. The people in the first century struggled with this, and so do we. We're very unproductive. It says they should be teachers by now, but they were not. And the reason the writer of Hebrews is writing this book is to help them grow and mature, because they were not growing and maturing, some of them. They were being unproductive. Every believer should be a teacher. And I'm not talking about teaching kids downstairs, right? Because I don't want to do that either. No, actually, I love it. I love it. It's one of my passions. He says you should be teachers by now. And what he's talking about here is not literally taking someone and saying, okay, class, I'm going to teach you now. It's this. It's sharing your faith. It's just being open and saying, God, however you want to use me, whoever I need to talk to, it doesn't matter. I'm going to share what God has been doing in my life. Pouring into others. Are you doing that? Do you have someone who's maybe a little behind you in their faith that you're pouring into, that you're encouraging, that you're saying, listen, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God has something great for you. Are you doing that? If not, you should be. We should all be teachers by now. All of us. And I'm not talking about standing up here. I'm talking about in your life, sharing what God's done. I love how David Jeremiah puts it. He says there's three stages to every believer. He says this, listen. He says, first, you need to be fed by others. When you first come to Christ, you don't really know how to feed yourself. And so you come to church and you just absorb. And there's some people in a Bible study or a small group that are pouring into your life, and you're just being fed by them. And it's a great thing. And infants need that because they can't feed themselves. And then he says this, second, you learn to feed yourself. And here's the great part. Third, you help feed others. Total transparency and honesty. Where are you at? Where are you at? Are you just coming to church and just being fed by others and saying, yeah, that was a great message, Pastor. Yeah, pat on the back. Woo, awesome. I'm just going to go out and live however I want. Are you feeding yourself? Are you daily having a connection with God? Every day, talking to Him, reading His Word, digesting it, letting it affect you. And then maybe you're at the place where you're helping feed others. You're a mature believer. That's where we want to go. That's where we want to get to. Where are you on the list? The writer says this, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, it's unproductive. It's unproductive. It's one of the causes of immaturity, is that we're not producing. We're not reproducing. We're not doing what God wants. We're not producing some of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. There's nine of them. You want to start somewhere? Learn that. And then say every day to God, God, I want to be more loving and more joyful and more patient when I drive. Man, God's still working on me with that one. More kindness, more gentleness. More faithfulness. Just start there. If you get those down, you're good to go. Because you're never going to get those down. You're going to spend the rest of your life striving for that. They were unproductive. Here's the second thing. Under some of the causes of immaturity. Unhealthy. just flat out unhealthy. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, not acquainted with the teachings of righteousness. As an adult, I don't encourage you to drink just milk for the rest of your life. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to go to the doctor and he's going to say, you know what? Your numbers are terrible. You're malnourished. You're not getting enough. And so many Christians, listen to me, so many believers who have been serving Christ for years, if I say decades, are still on the bottle. They're still drinking the milk. They haven't even moved to solid food. When my son Jake, the one who drums here, he'll be here for Easter. He's in college. But the first time we ever fed him, right? My wife nursed him for, I think, 9 months or a year or so. But the doctor said about, I don't know, about 6 or 7 months, they can eat some of the nasty little, come on somebody, baby food, right? So we got him some baby food, and we put him in his high chair. We sat there, and we gave him one scoop. And then he started doing this. Like, for real, I'm not kidding you. Like, he's like, yo, just start shoving it in, man. It's delicious. I want it. He had this desire to be on solid food. Do you have that desire today? To say, you know what, I'm not just going to stay with the elementary truths. I'm going to go deeper in my faith. I want God to do great things in my life. I'm doing more. It's unhealthy for someone to just drink milk all the time. It's unhealthy. Are you regularly in God's Word? Are you growing in your trust for God? Are you less anxious and worried today? Are you taking time to talk to God? Are you seeing growth in your spiritual life, in your relational life, in your financial life? That's part of it too, you know that. It's honoring God. Are you growing in that? Or are you malnourished? Are you still on the bottle? Are you still living in, it's tough to say, an immature Christian life? I warned you about this message. I call this is kind of the message where you have to look in the mirror. You have to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself and say, you know what, I'm not living right. I'm not fully committed. I'm not living out the truths of God's Word. I'm not doing that. Are you unproductive in your faith? Are you unhealthy in your walk with God? These are questions that need answering. They need to be answered. We looked at the causes. I want to look at the cure because I don't want to leave you just empty-handed and say, hey, you're immature, grow up. I want to leave that. I want to leave you some ways that you can grow in your faith. Some cures to immaturity. First one is this, and I love this. We need to expose ourselves to God's Word. We need to expose ourselves to God's Word. Why do I use the word expose? Because it's this opening. It's this understanding of, I want to be transparent before God. I'm not living right. I got some things in my life I need to straighten out. And with God's help, I'm going to do that. That's the cure beginning for immaturity, to expose yourself to God's Word. Listen, too many people are just living the basics of Christianity. Oh, Jesus died for me. I'm forgiven. I'm good. I'll see you in heaven. Not enough. Listen, if Jesus just wanted to save you to get you to heaven, then when you got saved, when you surrendered, God would have taken you right then and there. But he left you here. He left me here for a reason, to grow in our faith, to mature, to spread the gospel. That's what God wants, to expose ourselves and to say, you know what, I'm growing. I'm sharing my faith with others. Not only am I feeding myself, I'm feeding others. And they're like, ugh. Like Jake, my man was all in on the food. Listen, if you have your Bibles, would you turn, if it's on your phone, would you turn to Psalm 119? I didn't put this on the scripture. I didn't put this on the thing. I just want to read. This is it. This is the longest psalm. It's like 160 or 70 verses. It's crazy. It's really long. Really long psalm. But a majority of the psalm deals with God's Word. And so I want to expose you for just a minute to some of the teaching, some of the things that the psalmist wrote about God. Psalm 118, here we go, verse 1 and 2. Blessed are those who are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. They're walking with God's word. That's their standard of living. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. Verse 9. How can a young person, listen, if you're a teenager, 20-something, listen. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? Here it is. Here's the answer. Listen to me. Living according to God's word. That's what it says. Living according to God's word. Verse 11 says this, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. There is a reason why we learn scripture. There's a reason why we get it in our heart so that we don't sin against God. You don't learn it just to get a check mark. You don't learn it to get a little star. Say, I learned this verse. I went to church this week. I listened online. Whatever the case is. I've hidden your word in my heart that I won't sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. God, teach me. Lord, show me. Through this passage today, show me. Am I immature? Is there any immaturity in my life, in my walk with God? Listen, with my lips, I recount your laws that come from your mouth, God. I rejoice in following your statutes. Do you rejoice in God's word? Do you have joy when you read or you come to church and you're like, man, God's word is amazing. It's powerful. There's so many promises, so much truth in it. I rejoice in following your statutes as one who rejoices in great riches. Interesting. I rejoice like somebody who won the lottery. You'd be pretty excited, right? Do you know the lottery a couple months ago was like $1.6 billion or something? Or like over $100 million? Listen, if I drop that in your lap, would you be excited? Oh my goodness. Tithe first. Just saying. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. Listen to the next part. I will not neglect your word. Verse 20, my soul is consumed with longing for your laws all the time. Verse 30, I've chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. This is the standard by which I live. It is God's word. And if it says don't do this, I'm not going to do this. If it says don't live like this, I'm not going to live like this. I'm going to honor God's word. Verse 33, teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Verse 43, never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put hope in your law. Wow. That's where my hope is, in God. Verse 47, I love this. I delight in your commands because I love them. I delight in God's word because it's amazing. It's awesome to be exposed to God's word. Verse 57, you are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your word. Verse 66, teach me your knowledge and good judgment, for I trust your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. Isn't that good, that last part? Before I was afflicted, when I wasn't living right, I had all these issues and all these problems and all this was going on, but now that I've got connected with your word, it's amazing. I'm not afflicted. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. God, you've got me. Verse 72, the law from your mouth. Listen, this one like hit me hard. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Ouch. So listen, if you had a choice between your bank account and your retirement and your home and all that you have and the word of God. Ouch. Ouch. He says, more precious. And I like silver and gold. Come on, somebody. It's more precious than silver and gold. Because you know what? Here's the reality. Listen, your bank account, if you die with a lot of money, somebody else is going to spend it. Right? And you could build it up. And it's a wonderful thing. Listen, I'm not opposed to that. Listen, it's a great thing. More precious than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Verse 89, your word, Lord, is eternal. Never ends. It stands firm in the heavens. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law, exclamation point. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me, are you ready for this? Wiser than my enemies. Isn't that good? Some of you are having problems at work. Get into God's word, man. God's going to give you wisdom so that your enemies, the people that even don't like you, you're going to have more wisdom than them because you're in God's word, because you're maturing in your faith. You're not going to get into conversations or situations with people that are unhealthy. It comes from God's wisdom. Verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Isn't that a good one? I love this one. This is so good too. I love this. I'm gonna learn this one. Verse 113. I hate double-minded people, but I love your law. Isn't that great? I hate people that can't make decisions, or one day they're living for God and the next day they're not. He says, I hate them. I don't want to be around them. But you know what I love? I love your law. I love your law. Verse 129, your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. Verse 144, your statutes are always righteous, giving me understanding that I may live. Last one, verse 161, listen. Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I'm living like this. This is my standard of living, and I am going to mature in my faith. I am not going to stay in the shallow end. I'm not. I'm going to go into the deep things of God. We need exposure to God's word. You need it every day. More than food, you need God's word in you every day. Even if it's just a verse, even if it's just a short devotional, do something to get in God's word. It matters. Here's the second one. We need to experience a God-filled life. We need to experience a God-filled life. You want to grow in your faith? Engage people. Engage people that are far from God. Engage them. Have conversations with them. Talk about them. You don't have to share. You don't have to just run off all these verses. That doesn't matter. Just share your story. Just share what God's done in your life. Because no one can argue with that. We can argue about the Bible all you want. Nobody can argue with my testimony. Can't do it. Engage people. Engage people. Great example of this is Acts 3. I'm just going to read one verse, but I'll give you the cliff notes. Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. It says it's about, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they encounter a man who, the Bible says, has been lame from birth. He can't walk. He can't walk. And so he's begging for money so he can survive. Peter and John, like me, have empty pockets. Because my wife won't give me money. Because I spend it. Verse 6 says this. Listen to this. It's true. If I have money in my pocket, I'll just spend it. So she doesn't let me have cash. It's true. I'll go through. Wah, wah. Come on, somebody. Right? Then Peter said, listen. We don't have any silver and gold. Right? Do not have, but what do I have? I want to share with you. I want to engage with you. And this is great. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And the rest of the story is he runs into the temple, which you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to run in church. Come on, somebody. He runs into the temple. He's so excited. He's never walked in his life. And listen, I'm not saying you have to go and find somebody who can't walk. And you're going to encounter people all the time. It's an experience. It's a way to engage people, to share your faith. Listen, I don't have a whole lot, but let me share with you my testimony of what God's done in my life. You know what I'm saying? Over a cup of coffee, over a bagel, something from Wawa. Are you having, quote unquote, experiences with God, where in your life God leads you to people that you can just pour your faith into, or engage them, or encourage them? I was sharing yesterday with another pastor about what's happening to me with being in the chemo room And I mean, I don't even know if I shared this with you. My doctor is very far from God, all right? He's a great guy, amazing guy. My oncologist, I love him. He's awesome. We got him a Christmas present, the whole bit. But he is very far from God. And so his mother died right when I started chemo back in September. And he had to go away, and he got to his to his father, and he's like, all these lists of people they need to call. He goes, who's this woman? And he says, oh, that's your mom's pastor. She got saved and baptized in the last few years. We got to call her. She's got to do the funeral. So that happens to him during the week. The next week, he encounters me. Huh. And I ask him how it went with his mom and all this stuff. And I get to share my story of how God gave me a vision before I even went in the chemo room. And listen to me. Tears roll. You were there. Tears are rolling down his cheeks. God is working on his heart. And you know what? It was just a simple conversation. Hey, this is what God's been doing in my life. You can do the same. It's that experience of just a God-filled life where the just God comes out of you. You can't help it. It just comes out. Here we go. Be exposed to God's word. Experience God in everyday life. Number three, listen, we need to exercise discernment. This is where this passage goes with dull versus discernment. I want to show you a picture. See if you know who this guy is. Come on, somebody. Steph Curry. Yeah, a lot of you know. Probably, I would argue, one of the best shooters that has ever played in the NBA. Do you know how he did that? He's not particularly tall. You know, he can dunk like the rest of us. Dude, you throw up a 7-foot rim, I would dominate. You know what I'm saying? I'm kidding. It's 10-foot. But yeah, you'll get that later. Cliff got it. Thank you, Cliff, for laughing. He shoots over 1,000 shots a week. He shoots 200 jump shots before he plays any game. You know what that's called? That's called repetition. That's called exercise. That's called putting into practice what you believe. Listen, we need to exercise discernment. Exercise discernment. And it comes through, listen to me, repetition. It comes through saying no to evil and yes to good. Repeatedly. Not just one time. Not just on Sunday. Like, I heard a message, man, I'm really convicted. I can't do that. Can't look at that. Can't go there. Can't have that conversation. No, it's every day. A repetition, saying, you know what? Today, I'm going to have discernment. This is good for me, and this is not good for me. And it's just repetition. It's just repetition. Look at verse 14 again. Listen. This is a great verse. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, the adults. That's what they're eating. Come on, somebody. A little chicken, some steak, good turkey, bacon and eggs. I'll throw in a salad for those of you that are healthy. The meat, the mature, are eating solid food. They're chewing it up. Even those who by reason of use have their senses. Listen to me. Exercise to discernment. Exercise. Pilates. Thank you. It's exercise. It's repetition. Every day doing the same thing. Getting a cup of coffee in the morning. I don't drink coffee, but maybe you do. And getting your Bible and opening it up. Or getting your phone. I do so much stuff on my phone now, right? I don't even take my Bible someplace. I have my phone. It's on my Bible. Devotion. I get devotions through email. I get all these things. I read them. Take some time. You know what it is? Repetition. Practice. It's exercising discernment. That's what God wants you to do. That's one of the cures for immaturity. Discernment. And listen, let me put this. I put this in your notes. If you can put it up, Kyle. Discernment is not being judgmental, but it's having good judgment. Isn't that good? That's why I put it in your notes. It's not being judgmental. It's not like, yeah, I don't want to be around you because you're evil. No, you don't have to say that. You don't have to be judgmental. Discernment is just having good judgment. You know what? That is not the best situation for me. God's not going to be honored by that. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to live like that. It's the ability to look at situations and say, this isn't good for me. This is evil. I'm going to pass. I'm not going to be involved in that. Oh, yeah, you guys are all going drinking on Friday night because you cast your checks. Yeah, I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to pass on that. Somebody gets you in a conversation where they want to talk about somebody. You know what? I don't want to go there. I'm not going to get into that conversation. I'm just not. Discernment is exercise. It's repetition. Many think a life for God stops you from enjoying life, but it doesn't. The more you get into this, the more you'll have discernment. And listen, you know what comes along with that? Joy and peace and patience when you're driving. Can tell where God's working on me? And kindness and compassion and love. It comes from this. If you're not in this, you're missing it. You're missing it. I know I've covered a lot today. I'm going to close with this. I have to go back to wrestling. Not the picture. We don't show the picture again. But here's what's going on in your life. You're either dull of hearing or you're living in discernment. I love you. It's a tough thing to say. But you're my friends. You're my family. Dull or discernment? They're battling in your life. Stubbornness and slowness and shallow. It's battling in your life. But here's the great news. There is a cure. And it comes from this, God's word. Will you expose yourself to God's word? Will you look at it and say, you know what? I'm not living like this, but God says I should be. Will you experience and share your faith with people that you connect with? Will you exercise discernment? This is right and this is wrong. It is so clear to me. I'm choosing what is right. So here we go. Five questions for you. I'm going to close with this. Five questions that you need to ask yourself, that you need to go over and say, listen, okay, here it is. You ready? Number one, how much time did you spend in God's word this week? Oof. You're going there, Pastor? Absolutely. How much time did you spend in God's word this week? Well, we were in Hebrews chapter 5 last week. That's the last time I opened my Bible. I love you. That's immaturity. Spend time in God's word, even if it's a verse a day, right? Even if it's a chapter a day. I have gone I didn't do it this year. I got a lot going on. I changed it up. But for the last 5 years, I've read through either the entire Bible or just the Old Testament 1 year and the New Testament the next year. There's all kinds of things you can get. Apps on your phone. It's incredible. YouVersion, great Bible. Great Bible. It'll lay out a plan for you to read the entire Bible or just the New Testament in a year. A little bit every day. How much time did you spend in God's word? Second one is this. When was the last time you memorized a verse from the Bible? Ouch. Man, that one got me hard this week. I'm like, you know what? I need to be memorizing more scripture. I just do. I try to memorize a few every year, but I need to do more. When was the last time you memorized a verse that meant something to you? Do you have a life verse? We talked about this a couple years ago. I did a whole series on having a life verse. I have two life verses, right? One from the old, one from the new. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in him. Gosh, I need that verse. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold. He knows my situation. He knows my name. He knows what's going on with me. And then John 3:30. I love John 3:30. It says this. He must become greater and I must become less. He must become greater and I must become less. I want to live by those two verses my entire life. Memorize some verses. Get in there. Now listen. You're going to start out, you're going to be like so convicted, you're going to be like, I'm going to learn 10 verses by the end of the year. Just one. And then in a couple months, learn another. And keep going over those same verses. Keep going over them. Number three. When was the last time you shared with someone what God is doing or has done in your life? When was the last time you poured into someone else what God is doing? You know what? Tomorrow, some of you are going to go to work. You're going to go to school. Great opportunity. Oh, I went to church this week. Don't worry how they respond. I went to church this week, man. The message was great. And can I share it with you? Or you know what? I've been praying for this, and God answered this. He's just wonderful. When was the last time you shared, engaged, got that experience, God-filled life. Number four. What do you know about God or His Word that you didn't know a year ago? This is the sign of maturity right here. What do you know about God today that you didn't know before? You know, one of the great things of being a pastor is that you have to study God's Word. And listen, just like you, I am learning so much from Hebrews. It's a fantastic book. I was convicted so much this week. I'm like, man, I got to get my 3x5 cards out and start putting some verses on them. Putting them out, putting them in my desk, putting them in the office, putting them in my car, beginning to learn them. Last one. What could you eliminate or limit in the next 30 days and insert God's Word or a time of worship? What could you eliminate or limit and say, you know what, there's this great show, or I do this every single night, I watch this or do that. You know what, I'm gonna take some time and I'll DVR that and I'll watch it later, but I'm gonna spend that time, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, in God's Word. Go to YouTube on your phone, on your tablet. Look up some worship songs by Hillsong or whatever you like, Elevation Worship or Jesus Culture or whatever, and just take a minute and say, you know, I'm going to listen to this song. It's 4 minutes. And I'm going to worship God. I'm going to honor Him. I'm just going to take some time. It's my word for today. No big ending. No big story at the end. Am I maturing in my faith? Stand with me so we can pray. Heavenly Father, there is a battle going on in our hearts between dull and discernment. And God, today, as a family, as a group of people who love You, we just commit to Your Word, to who You are, to maturing. God, forgive us for being immature. Forgive us for being stubborn or staying in the shallow end. You have so much more for us. And so, God, we pray as a body that You would expose, we would expose ourselves to Your Word. That God, we give You permission when we read something that we will take it to heart and live it out. God, we want experiences in our life where we can share our faith, where we can engage with people. Father, give us opportunity today and this week to do that. And Lord, when You speak to us like You do through Your Spirit, we will be obedient. And God, we need discernment. We don't need to be judgmental, but we need to have good judgment. And so, Father, give us discernment between right and wrong. That's a mature believer, God. We want that. We want to go after that. We love You. We honor You. We bless You. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen.